we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday, Brevard County. Isn't it great to live in such a beautiful, beautiful area? God is good, and my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio broadcast today. Thank you for making us part of your morning commute or your evening commute home, however you may be listening. We just want to say thank you. We also want to say thank you to one of our longtime families at Merritt Assembly of God, Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any concrete work or block work done, they would be an excellent resource for you to have written down. And so even if you don't need them right now, you may want to go ahead and write this number down, because you might not know when you will need them. And so I encourage you to write this number down. Give them a call when you do need them. They do excellent work. 536-5804. That's Jits Concrete right here in Cocoa, Florida. A couple of weeks ago on our vintage service, the Anderson family is who owns this, and Mrs. Anderson was testifying, and I love this. And now you got to understand, she has had so many miraculous healings in her body, and yet she continues to get attacked periodically physically, and she testified and she said, "I'm doing better, and the devil just might as well go ahead and leave me alone, because God's got his hand on me." And so I just love that testimony. And so if you if they can be a blessing to you, write their number down, 536-5804. Today is a wonderful day in our household. My wife's birthday is today, and so I'm taking her away to relax and enjoy the day. We want to say thank you to everybody who came out last night for the night of prayer. And once again, I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I did take her away for the night. And so please forgive me, but understand that we are praying. We pray every Thursday morning. I encourage you that if you aren't praying, get up. I believe that our commander-in-chief has specific divine marching orders for us on a daily basis, if we will just check in with him and find out what those orders are, and then make the most out of every opportunity. So we want to invite you out tomorrow. The ladies have a ladies brunch, that a teacup exchange they're doing. And so that will be tomorrow morning. I believe it starts at 11:30 in our fellowship hall. And then Sunday is Mother's Day. From what I hear, Mother's Day is the third largest attended service of the year in a church's calendar. And so if you do not have a church home, I encourage you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. If you are able to spend Mother's Day with your mother, please take advantage of that opportunity. You never know when that last opportunity to do so is going to come. I have had that philosophy when I visit my family, because they are about 1,200 miles away. And this will be my dad's first year to have Mother's Day without his mother. And so don't miss those opportunities. They called his mom every day when she was alive. She lived on the other side of town, so they didn't get to see her every day, but they did get to talk to her just about every day. So be sure and wish your mother a happy Mother's Day. Make her feel extra special this weekend. And so, ladies, if you're coming out, we'll have a little gift for you at the conclusion of our Mother's Day service. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. We want to get back into the Word of God today. By the way, that'll be Sunday morning, Sunday school 9:30, worship at 10:30. We do not have a Sunday night service this week. as we will be celebrating with our the special ladies in our life, my wife and daughter specifically. So here in Isaiah chapter 5, we had been talking out of verse number 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, I want you to recognize that this begins with woe. This is what God is saying to the prophet, that when you begin to do these things, it doesn't result in happiness. It doesn't result in joy. It doesn't end up in peace. It ends up in woe. It is a lamentable condition. It is a condition that when you are operating in these things, that it is a warning sign. And so God in his mercy gives warning. If you see these things beginning to happen, you've got to recognize that bad things are on the horizon. You may not know this, but when I was 11 years old, I was supposed to have been in Sunday school. Instead of being in Sunday school, I was in the backyard playing baseball with my brother, and we were not very good at keeping it in the backyard. It was kind of a small yard, and so my brother kept throwing it over the fence, and so we'd take turns going and climbing over my neighbor's wooden fence and retrieving the baseball. And it was my turn, so I hopped up there. I had a ring on that my great-grandmother had just given me for Valentine's Day, a little $5 drugstore ring. Still have it, and it hung up on a nail. When I jumped over, it ripped my finger off. And so people hear that story, and they say, oh, so God punished you for skipping Sunday school. And I said, no, that's not what happened. I said, I put myself in a position where the devil could take advantage of me, and the devil did take advantage of me. And so I want to encourage you today, do not put yourself in precarious situations. Do not put yourself in positions where the devil can take advantage of you because of willful disobedience to the word of God. So we move from verse 20 to verse number 21, and it also has a woe, a second woe. And it says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There are a number of woes that are mentioned here in chapter 5. There was a woe in verse number 8. There was a woe in verse number 11. There is a woe in verse number 18, a woe in verse 20, verse 21, two woes in verse number 22. And so there's a lot of things, and we need to realize that God's warning is a gift to us. It is a desirable thing. It is God, from his divine perspective, giving us insight that we might not have. It prevents the devil from leading us astray, because when we hear God's warning, we know, hey, be careful. Stop. I don't know of any person in a military situation that would not avail themselves of any insight that people have from a better perspective, be it a person who is the lookout from a higher vantage point, or someone who has satellite intelligence or air support. I don't know of anybody who wouldn't avail themselves of somebody saying, hey, be careful, the enemy is right around the corner from you. Be careful, right ahead of you is a very dangerous situation. You want to proceed with great caution. So that's what this woe is. And it says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. This is, again, a societal thing. It's a societal condition where there are people who are unteachable, people who are unteachable. And so I would ask you today to look at yourself, analyze yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to evaluate your heart and your life and say, am I a teachable person? Am I a teachable person, or am I wise in my own eyes to the point that I've got to be the wisest person in the room? I've got to be right all of the time. You know, if you never strive to grow, you will always be stunted. You will always be beneath the potential. I believe that as long as we have breath in our lungs, that we are capable of gaining greater understanding. Now, with that being said, if somebody is operating in wisdom, you and I, we have to analyze, we have to look at this situation and say, what form of wisdom are they operating? Are they operating in carnal wisdom? Are they operating in wisdom from this world? Are they operating from philosophies of men? Or are they operating from the wisdom from heaven? Because the wisdom from heaven, God's wisdom, is always proved right by its actions. And so God's wisdom is never going to lead us astray. I will tell you this, you can operate by God's wisdom and people will not necessarily like it. I know it for a fact because I have done it. I have done what the scripture said. People didn't like it. And at that point in time, I would just have, this was the only defense. It's like, I am so sorry that this has upset you to such an extent, but I am bound to the wisdom of God's word, and I know that it's the right thing. And here's the thing, even though it began as a process where people didn't understand what was going on, they didn't understand the position that I was taking, in the end, that wisdom was proved absolutely correct. Now, here is the way that I address situations where people may not agree with the wisdom of God's word. I tell them, look, this is what the word of God says. This is the result of the action that God's word says is going to come if people proceed on this particular course. And then I always put this in there. You know what? I pray that I'm wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. I really do. But God's word, it's never faulty. It's never faulty. And so I want to encourage you, do not be wise in your own eyes, but instead be teachable and say, God, what do you have for me to do? Because whenever we're filled up with ourselves, we have no room for additional information. And so then verse number 22, it goes on to a couple of other woes. And my mouth will start working here eventually. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. That's a throwback to verse number 11 of chapter 5. Which was also a woe. It was a lamentable condition. But here it begins to say that people who do those things, that they are also susceptible. It's not just the people who are in bondage to alcohol, but it is also people who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. So I want to talk about this for just a little bit because I have never seen such a rapid social transition as long as I've been alive as we have in the past couple of decades, specifically the last decade. And that is this, that people will alter their positions. Listen to this. It says, who justify the wicked for a bribe. That is economic considerations. Economic considerations. What we need in America is people who stand up for their principles once again, who cannot be bought and cannot be sold because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who will stand up for what they believe in, even if it has detrimental effects. If you look back at the founding fathers, the people who signed on the Declaration of Independence, most of them died in undesirable conditions. They suffered a great deal because of the stand and the principles that they took against the dictatorial reign of King George. So you and I, we need to we need to make sure that we align ourselves with what God calls righteous and what God calls wicked, and that we cannot be bought. A lot of times people make job changes because it's for more money. And I would just encourage you to do this. I'm not opposed to God blessing anybody with a greater source of income, but from a pastoral perspective, I have seen people get promoted to a level of authority or positions that was detrimental to their spiritual health and to their family's well-being. And many times those promotions had devastating effects upon their personal families. And so I would ask you to pray, allow God to have the authority to shut that door if it's not of him, and say, you know what? I cannot be bought and I cannot be sold. The first ministry position that my wife and I, I took, this was before we were married. I took a position as a youth pastor. I worked 70 hours a week, and I made $84 a week, or $86 a week, $86.32, I believe it was. That was my bring home pay. It wasn't even enough to pay my bills. But you know what? I got so much more out of it than a paycheck. You see, that job positioned me where I met my wife. It positioned me for the greatest blessing outside of God himself and salvation through Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I received the greatest blessing of my life because I said yes to God's provision. If I had said no because of the financial considerations, I would have deprived myself of God's most wonderful gift that I've ever received. By the way, happy birthday, baby. Don't allow the financial constraints, because they might endure for a season, but I want to share this with you. I believe that God today wants to impart hope to people. I believe that if you and I would begin to pray that God will give us divine strategies, I don't believe that God wants you to be the borrower servant to the lender. I don't believe that he wants you and I to be in financial bondage. And so what they told John Wesley one time was, preach faith until you have faith. And so I'm preaching Jubilee until I get financial Jubilee. But I am so thankful for divine strategies that are going to result in me having financial freedom in a situation that in the natural looked absolutely hopeless. And so I want to encourage somebody today, if you think that you are in a hopeless situation, allow God to operate in such a way that he will be your principal. And it not only is it justifying the wicked for a bribe, but listen, it says, and taking away justice from the righteous man. And so it seems, you know, from my viewpoint here, that just about everybody in America has the ability to have a principled point of view, unless you are a Bible-believing, Bible-living Christian. I know that there are protections in place, but in many places, those protections are being eroded a great deal. And we could just throw our hands up and wring them, but I want you to see that God has a solution for that situation. It doesn't have to be a permanent situation. You see, Israel and the nation of Judah, specifically the nation of Judah, they had wild swings in what was socially acceptable. It just needed a change in government. And so I've told you this on the radio before, is that I'd always looked at it and saw that the kings had the ability to lead the people in righteousness or lead them in wickedness. And they had plenty of kings that did both. And then one day a person shared this with me. They said, you know, God always gave the children of Israel the king they deserved. He gave the southern kingdom of Judah, he gave them the king that they deserved. And so we'll see that here in just a moment. So if you feel as if God is taking away justice from you, there's not anything that we can do about that except for cry to the one who is just. If you believe that God is righteous and just in all his ways, if you believe you are walking in covenant with him, then I want to encourage you with this reality. If someone attacks you because of your principles, understand that God will come to your defense. Does that mean that there will not be financial hardship? Not necessarily, but it does mean this, that God is going to make sure that you are taken care of. So it says, therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust. Honestly, when I see that that verse number 24, their root will be as rottenness, I see two things. I see decay and I see bitterness. And it talks about that it is going to be something that takes place beneath the surface. That's where roots have their existence. They're thriving beneath a level that people can see with the naked eye. And so the roots provide the foundation and the stability for a plant. And if those things are decaying, if they are rotten, if there is bitterness there, it is going to manifest in the fruit that is above ground. It's going to be evident to the naked eye before long. And so I would encourage you today that if any of these things, if you've called evil good, if you would rather exchange light for darkness, if you'd rather have something bitter instead of something sweet, if you are wiser than God in your own eyes, if you are justifying the wicked for a bribe, if you're taking away justice, if you are consumed with the thought of how you're going to get your next drunk on, I want you to know that you are eating away at the foundation of your own existence. And God doesn't want that. He wants you to be built and established upon the word of God. That's the house that is sustained during the time of storm. You see, a storm can come and it can wipe away a house, or a storm can come and that house be standing, and it can be a trophy to the foundation of the house. It says that these things will happen. The root will be rotten and the blossom will descend like dust because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the Holy One of Israel. Now, the other day we were talking about various reactions to the word of God. They have no knowledge. They have rejected the knowledge. They've abandoned it. We talked about all of those things earlier in this week. It says here, and they despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. In other words, they hated it. They loathed it. They despise it. They have no room for it, and they will not tolerate the word of God. God doesn't say that is not going to happen, but he does have enough mercy to tell us what the result of that would be. And so I want to encourage you that if you are talking with a person that has despised or does despise the word of the Lord, they've rejected it, they have no room for it, don't argue with them. Don't argue with them. Live it out before them. Show the difference. Manifest the difference. But if you're listening, I want you to see what you are positioning yourself for. If you despise the word of the Lord, verse number 25 says, therefore the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them. I have always liked not making the wrong people angry at me. I've always found that to be true. By the way, I want to encourage you that if you come across one of our military personnel, would you just go up to them and say thank you for your service and mean it? I mean, and if you see a police officer, thank them for their service, because every day they can be going about their job and not knowing if that's going to be the last time that they get to leave from their house or not. I know it doesn't, that the odds are good that they're going to survive, but let them know that you're praying for their safety. Thank them for their sacrifice, because they made sacrifices that others of us were not willing or were not able to make. But I don't want to make police officers angry at me. I think that's wise. I don't want to make God angry at me. By the way, I don't want to make my wife angry at me either. I don't want to provoke my children to wrath. There are things that I don't want to do. But it says here that when we despise the word of the Lord, when we reject the law of God, that his anger is aroused against us, and instead of his hand working for us, it says that he stretches his hand out against them. And so, to me, that just doesn't sound like a wise course of action. It doesn't sound wise to be fighting against God, the omnipotent God, the eternal God, the God who's never been defeated. And I would just encourage you today, if you are lamenting the attack on the word of God that is taking place in our in the times that we live right now, that this is not the first time this has happened. There was a man who declared that the Bible was extinct, that it was no longer valid. It had been proved that insufficient for the task, and enlightenment had come, and so we no longer needed the word of God. 100 years from the time that he made that statement, they were printing Bibles in that man's house. And so I want you to know, God is a great big God. He's got broad shoulders. He's never been outwitted, never been outsmarted, and he will prevail in the end. So are you set for a good weekend? Remember to make communicating with your mom and telling her you love her. Tell your wife you love her. Tell your kids that you love them, your daughters that you love them. And my goal for my daughters is this. I want to set the bar high in the way that I treat them, so that the guys that they marry in the future, that my daughters will know how a man is supposed to treat them. So God bless you. You have a great weekend. We will see you Monday morning right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. What will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my world?
my one thing, and the pure in heart shall see.